God is creating righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word. We are going to kind of jump in here tonight, if we can. I'm going to go to slide 24. Amen. Slide 24. Those that are joining us online, we do apologize. We had a slight hiccup there, but the brothers were able to get it sorted out, and glad to have you with us tonight. Slide 24 is where we'll start, amen, tonight, in some of our key statements. It says this, but there is a group of people that God, by foreknowledge, has opened their eyes of understanding, and they can see. And when I look at this little statement, the song just kind of goes right along with it. I am so glad that I can sing. I'm one of them. Amen. A group of people, God, by foreknowledge, has opened their eyes of understanding, and they can see. This next statement says this, faith doesn't come by fasting. Faith doesn't come by praying. Reading a book, all of that's good, fasting, praying, reading a book. But faith cometh by a settled something that's in the human heart. Amen. Now, as the prophet said, you know, fasting, praying, reading a book, all those things are good, but faith is something that happens to you personally. Amen. God settles something in your heart. I remember some years ago, we were at Billy Graham's, his hometown. They built a nice little place that you can come and visit and just hear his story, the house that he grew up in, and all of that they have on the property, and they just kind of talk about his ministry and how he went, you know, all over the world just sharing the gospel. And, you know, while I was there, I saw a book there in the bookstore, and it was by George Mueller. And, you know, it was just a book with various testimonies of God making a way for George Mueller, and, you know, just so many things that God did for him. And I remember just reading that, and sometimes you read other material in order to just anoint your faith, right? That's all it does, is just kind of anoint your faith. And you look back and you see how God has done something for somebody else and say, wait a minute, I know God can do the same thing for me. Amen. And it just anoints your faith. But I remember as I was reading that particular book, George Mueller talked about how he was praying a certain way one time, and you know, just kind of praying for God, kind of meet the needs and do this and do that. And sometimes we pray like we serve a little God. Amen. That's the way we pray sometimes, like we serve a real small God. But George Mueller had ran across a scripture, amen, in the book of Psalms, I believe, and there it says, open wide thy mouth and I will fill it. And when George ran into that scripture, it changed the way that he prayed. And he says, no, if God told me to open wide my mouth, I'm going to ask God for big things. Praise God, because I serve a big God. Amen. Well, he's in control of the entire universe, right? So it changed the way that he was praying. And sometimes, so what happened with Brother George is that he saw something in the scripture, and that scripture actually gave him faith. The revelation that he saw in the scripture is what gave him faith to believe God for bigger things, and God began to do that. So, you know, oftentimes what faith is, you'll read something or hear somebody else's testimony, and it will anoint your faith to believe God, amen, for the impossible, absolute impossible. Praise God. Amen. We're talking about the impossible. We need to tell the impossible we're talking about God. Amen. Amen. Nothing is impossible when it comes to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This next statement says this, God will be obligated if he don't punish this nation and this world for its sins. He'll be morally obligated to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize for burning them. Amen. Praise God. This other one says, don't be run over. You don't have to be run over. If God is for you, who can be against you? Hey, I like that. Amen. At sometimes as Christians, we know we're supposed to be meek and humble and things like that, but we don't have to be run over. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you have to stand up for, let people know who you are. Amen. I am a daughter of God. I'm a son of God. And I'm not gonna take that, especially when it comes to the devil. Let the devil know who you are and don't take anything from him. Amen. Praise the Lord. This other statement says, but when the true Bible believers see the word so openly vindicated for the age, they believe there is no way to keep them from it. Amen. No way to keep them from it. We just believe the word of God. All right. And this next statement says, because we were first created for that purpose, to control, to rule, and to praise God, and to live for God. We were created for the purpose to control, to rule, and to praise God, and to live for God. Amen. We're not supposed to be underneath the devil's feet. We're supposed to have the devil under our feet. Amen. All right, this next statement says, every time the opportunity presents itself, worship the Lord by testifying of him. Amen. Every time the opportunity presents itself, worship the Lord by testifying of him. All right. I want to go to this next slide here. And what I want to do is look at verse 17 tonight. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Paul makes the statement here. He says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Paul says he testifies in the Lord, and we want to kind of hit a little bit of that tonight if we can. Just a little quote that is on this slide. It says, because Christ has raised from the dead, and he is alive among us tonight, and he is not dead. And our religion of Jesus Christ is not a vain philosophy, but it's a living, present tense fellowship with the Holy Ghost and Christ right here in the church tonight, performing and doing and blessing, shedding and healing and manifesting itself to prove he is alive among his people. Hallelujah. This faith that we have is not vain faith. Amen. Our Christian faith is not vain. We have a living faith because we serve a living God. And we want to just kind of look at this because, you know, Paul mentioned a couple things there, and just the Holy Spirit drew my attention to a couple words in this verse where it says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Our faith is not vain, amen, in the vanity of their mind. So I want to just kind of hit these two areas. I want to kind of maybe talk a little bit about testify, and then also, get into that word vanity. Here, a couple quotes that we'll read, amen, here from slide 24. The prophet says this in the sermon, Hebrews chapter 2, part 1. It says, now the preaching of the word, we enjoy it. But that's not the main thing. Wow, that's really something to think about, because we've been told that it is the main thing. And in some areas, yes, it is. You know, when we come into a service, it's not about the singing, amen. It's not about, the music, which you can, you go into some churches, I won't call names, but I remember coming up as a little boy, we would go to church, and it wasn't about the preaching, it was about the choir. And, it's all about the choir, and that choir got to sing. The choir got to do this, choir got to do that. But the preaching was just kind of secondary. And but we know that, in this hour, it's not about all of that type of singing, but we need the word if we're going to overcome. But just watch this statement, what Brother Branham is saying here in this. It says, now the preaching of the word, we enjoy it, but that's not the main thing. We should not worship the Lord just after we get through preaching the word as we usually do. Just worship him. That's wonderful. But we should worship him every hour of our life. When we're at work, we should worship him. Every time the opportunity presents itself, worship the Lord by testifying of him. If you see some of you ladies see a woman in the wrong, worship the Lord by taking her and saying, "Sister, there's a better life than this." You men at your work, when you hear a man using the name of the Lord in vain, get a chance to one side and slip over and take him by the hand and say, "You, there's a better life than this. You shouldn't use those words." And tell him in a meek, gentle way, all those things is a worship. Now, I love the way the prophet said to do it. Just grab him to the side. Don't embarrass him in front of everybody because he won't receive it. But if you grab him to the side, man, there's a better life than that. You don't have to use words like that to get your point across. Amen. You're worshiping the Lord when you do that. But pretty much what you're doing is taking what you've gotten in a sermon and now you're applying it and using it in your everyday life. He says, when we see someone sick and the doctor says there's no more can be done, we ought to worship the Lord by telling them there's a God of heaven that answers prayer. See, and that's when, you know, that's a perfect opportunity for you to share testimony. You know, oftentimes the first thing we want to tell people, we'll have the church pray for you. And we send a quick text out to all the saints and let them know to pray. But the first thing, have you stopped? Have you stopped to pray? Have you laid hands on them? Have you worshiped the Lord by telling them that God answers prayer? You know, have you tried to elevate their faith just a little bit by sharing a few testimonies with them? Right? Amen. Yeah, the saints gonna pray, but this is an opportunity God has given you. Amen. To share the Lord with them. Amen. Yeah, you know, I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna have my church pray, but there's a reason why I'm gonna have my church pray. Because I've seen God answer prayer amongst these people. I mean, we had this situation, God answered prayer. We had that situation, God answered prayer. And God answers prayer amongst his people. And then also remember to tell them, especially if they're not Christians, let them know at that moment, say, you know what? You don't even have to be a Christian to get healed. You don't have to be a Christian to get healed. You don't have to be saved to get healed. God can heal you even when you're not saved. But then you have to drop the bomb on them after they get excited. I ain't got to be a Christian to be healed. No, you ain't got to be a Christian to be healed. God will heal you not even without requiring anything. He can heal you. But now if you want to keep your healing, you're going to have to become a Christian. See, once the devil leaves, we got to do something to keep him out of there. Right? But you're going to have to give your heart to God if you want to keep your healing. Otherwise, you're going to keep going through this cycle. Praise God. It's the blood of Jesus that'll break that cycle. Amen. Amen. Here, this next statement, Brother Branham says this. Now, just don't go away from church today and say, well, I'm kind of enjoy going down there. I like the singing. And the people are friendly around that little church. Don't do that. Brother, let your heart become a flame. Say, here I go to do something about this. I go to get out and see if I can get somebody saved. And don't go out saying, bless God. If you don't repent, you're going to perish. See, I mentioned this on Sunday. So, you know, the message has been misunderstood. But oftentimes I feel like the reason the message has been misunderstood is because the message has been presented to people the wrong way. Nobody receives things if it's presented the wrong way. I was just having a little conversation with the family on Mother's Day, and I just noticed that every time they would give somebody a gift in a bag, they open the gift, and as soon as the gift is open, they'll say something like, I'm going to need that bag back. I'm going to need my bag back. Praise the Lord. And I just kind of said, well, what's the use in giving them the bag? If you're going to ask for the bag back, just give them the gift. And what's the use in giving them the bag? And then they told me, say, no, it's still got to be presented properly. You just don't just give it out like that. You got to present it right. And once it's presented right, then it can be received right. And unfortunately, sometimes we just have not presented the message the right way. Look, even when you're trying to catch a fish, you got to put bait on the hook. You don't just put a hook out there, right? You got to put bait on it and give the fish something to entice them. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's the same way with this word. You got to give it to them the right way to give them something that'll just kind of get them thirsty a little bit. And next thing you know, they want a little bit more and they want a little bit more and they want a little bit more. Amen. But our presentation has got to be right. We got to do it with meekness. Got to do it in humility. Praise God. Amen. And don't try to force this truth on nobody. The truth was not forced on you. You were given an opportunity to make a decision. And you got to give everybody else the same opportunity. God is a gentleman. He does not force himself on nobody. Praise God. Amen. When we start forcing on people, we're no better than the Catholic Church, because that's exactly what they did. Anyone that did not agree with them, they killed them. Praise God. Amen. We don't want that spirit floating around, amen, in our midst. But look at what the prophet says. It says, don't go away from church today and say, well, I kind of enjoy going down there. I like the singing and the people are friendly around that little church. Don't do that. Brother, let your heart become a flame. Say, here I go to do something about this. I got to get out and see if I can get somebody saved. And don't go out saying, bless God, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. No, go at it gentle. Be as wise as a serpent, as harmless as a dove. So that's the way to go. Approach the person. If he's raising chickens, so what he's saying, try to find out what type of work they're doing. And then talk to them based on the work that they're doing. Try to present God from that angle. So if he's raising chickens, to him for a while, see, and then first thing you know, you'll be talking about the Lord. If he's a farmer, talk about his farm. If he sells automobiles, talk about his automobiles for a while. And says, what nice cars you got, and so forth, see, till you can catch the spirit. When Father said, now is the time to approach him about his soul. Now, and so this Brother Branham, you know, I told you just this word testify that Paul was using here, that this I say therefore in testifying the Lord. I just was drawn to that and just thinking, you know, we need to be able to testify to people. We need to be able to reach people for Christ, you know, there's a way that you've got to present Christ to people. Amen. There's a way that you have to do it. But we ought to look, everybody ought to look for opportunity to share Christ with somebody. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, till you catch the spirit, when Father says, now is the time to approach him by the soul. And you can always feel that. If you're ever out witnessing the people, you always feel when God's kind of telling you, okay, say it now. Say it now. Or sometimes you can feel God say, don't say a word. Just stay checked. You don't say nothing. You pull back completely. But there are times where God says, okay, now that's the time to inject that. And, you know, even when you're at work, you know, because nowadays they create an environment at work that you have to be careful when you're talking about the Lord. They've created that type of environment. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Even at work, when you feel the unction of the Holy Ghost to say something to somebody, God will back you up. God will back you up. If God's the one that led you to do it, God will back you up. Praise God. Amen. You don't have to worry about getting in trouble with nobody. Amen. God will back you. I felt there was something in me telling me to say that to you. I had to say it. Amen. All right. It says, you can wind it off. That's a fine automobile, you know. Transportation today has become great. Oh, how the nation has been brought close together and the cities of our nations close together. Friends and mothers can visit each other. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have automobiles like you're selling. Yes, sir, it sure is. you know, puffing on a cigar or whatever it is. Them is good cars. Now, notice what Brother Bram, y'all look at how he's explaining this. Because if we saw somebody puffing on a cigar while they're trying a car, while they're trying to sell a car, we wouldn't be talking about them, about, oh, it's a fine car that you're selling. Fine this. We'd be standing there coughing and all kind of, making a feel, you ought to put that thing out, you know. You'll never reach nobody when you're doing that. Amen. I can't stand here by you. I'm going to get cancer. You keep talking like that, you will get cancer. Praise the Lord. Don't say, well, look at what the advice that the prophet's giving you. God got you there for a person, and he's your shield, your buckler, and your great reward. Amen. So if you stand there, it's a purpose. Oftentimes we come in contact with people every day, people that you never thought that you was going to see. You come in contact, there's a purpose that you ran into that person. God wants you to testify. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says, yes, sir, sure is. Uh-huh. You know, puffing on a cigar, whatever it is. Yeah, them is good cars. Did you ever think of what them old timers would have thought if they seen something like that? Just keep going like that, you know. After a while, yeah, sure is. You know, another thing it does, it brings, like we have like in revivals. People can come across the country quickly for a revival. See, you're opening the way all time, you know. And it said, and so now when you use that word revival, you can kind of tell just based on how they respond. Because at that time, if they puffing on a cigar, they, put it out real quick. Now you know you're dealing with something. Revival, I ain't going to no revival. I ain't never been to no revival. I ain't never going to no revival. Okay. You might maybe say one more thing, and then you realize that you ain't got nowhere. Like, sometime I play golf with, and he loves to witness to anybody and everybody. You get in the golf cart with him, you're going to hear about Jesus. And there was another guy was playing with us, and he got in the golf cart with him, and they got another Christian. He got to going down this little path, and the man said, I don't think I want to hear no more. That's just not anything I'm interested in. Well, you know what he did? Just stop. You can't force that on nobody, right? And when he stands before God, he can't say he didn't have an opportunity. But you just, you know, that don't mean, okay, I ain't get them today. But boy, wait till I get back there next week. I'm going to have this for them. And I'm going to have that. You got to know. You got to know. We're talking about God. And when it comes to God, there's two things I want to kind of say here. One is that we all should be mindful of opportunities we have to be a witness, to testify. We ought to look for it. But the other thing is that we also need to know that God's elect will not be lost. And, sometimes you have some people that have a real evangelistic spirit, and they're going to witness to everybody. And when they hear about somebody, you know, in the hospital, whatever, they're trying to get everybody to go and just get them to say the sinner's prayer. You get them to say it, and you get them to say it. You know what? You talk about if this is a daughter of God, she can't be lost. And if I don't get there and this person don't get there, God can have a nurse there. God can have a doctor there. God can do whatever he want to do to get to that person. So don't worry yourself to death nights, because you didn't die for nobody. Amen. You didn't rise for nobody. You let God do all of that. All you want to do is just when it's your turn, when it's presented to you, you do the best you can. Praise the Lord. But here, you know, the prophet say, if you feel something chalk up the way, stop right there. Move over here. Like a doctor said out at Phoenix, said, Lord, fill my mouth with good words. And then nudge me when I've said enough. You see, yeah, nudge me when I've said enough. And that's what we need, is just a little nudge from the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's it. Don't say no more. You got to know when you've planted a seed, and you got to let God take from there. I remember a friend of mine going on to be with the Lord, but I remember when he wasn't a Christian, we worked together. Me and Brother Troy worked with this young man, and he would ride. We'd take him home from work and everything. We'd drop him off and sometime pick him up and take him to work. And, you know, we just got to know him because he was a coworker. And we have our, you know, gospel music playing in the car, and, you know, he's just riding along with us. And for some reason, we get in conversations about the Lord, and every time he just come up with questions that don't even make no sense, because he just really just didn't, he didn't want to hear it. But sometimes he'd bring it up. So, you know, we would engage oftentimes with him, and then finally he told us that he was getting ready to relocate, he was moving. And that was going to be our last time seeing him. He was moving from here down to Key West. And I said, okay, we'll drop you off tonight, and we won't see you no more. And he got into another one of them conversations right before he got out of the car. I said, oh, Lord, here we go. And I remember Brother Troy just getting upset with him, you know, just everything. I said, no, just hold on. So there was a song that the Winans had written, if you turn your head away after hearing what I say, you refuse to take my hand, then I understand. You just don't want to be loved. And I say, hey, just listen to this song. Listen to the words of this song, you know, before you go. So I turned on the song and just played it through. I say, look, I'm just telling you, you know, you've got the answers to your questions, but it just seemed like you just don't want to be loved. God bless you. We'll see you. He got out of the car. That was the last thing we said to him. Well, one day I found myself at a church, and these guys lifting weights for Jesus, breaking bricks for Jesus, and, you know, and I'm just here taking my kids to this, and I'm like, and they just, you know, everybody clap your hands as he break the brick for Jesus, you know, and at the end they tell some story to try to get people to the altar, and I don't even know what happened to that group. But you know, we don't have to do things like that for Jesus. Ain't nobody broke no bricks for Jesus in the Bible. Nobody did nothing like that to win people to Christ. What we need is the gospel preached and the power and demonstration of the Spirit that'll win people to Christ. And so, you know, but I happen to go there, and as I'm there and I'm getting ready to leave, I hear somebody just yell out, Jack, Jack, who in the world is calling me? Who know me here? And next thing you know, it's this fella that I told him that he just didn't want to be loved. He told me, I said, what you doing here at the church? What are you doing here? I said, I'm saved now. You saved? I had no idea. Them seeds that was planted, God brought them forth much later in life. And all God needs you to do is just plant the seed. And then he nudge you and say, okay, that's enough. You do your part and you stop right there. God take care of the rest. Amen. God will water it. God will bring it to maturity. God will do all of that. He just needs you to do your part. Then get out the way. Just get out the way. And from that conversation, we were able to, once he got saved, and he started asking questions now about the Bible. And from there, we can go deeper. Because now you're a Christian. You're reading the Bible. Well, what is it that y'all believe? Oh, you want to know? I mean, the same guy we could not even get to Christ. You want to know what we believe? Start talking about this message. Next thing you know, he's reading books, listening to tapes, and he's leaving his church and coming to the message. My God, I'm grateful because I know Brother Branham made a statement. He says, when you get to heaven, he says you got to see a halo hanging over somebody's head, and that spot, that halo that's hanging over their head, represents eternity. And he's saying, you'll see it and you will realize that you had something to do with that. Hallelujah. This is why we want to testify, because you want, when you get somebody to the other side, you'll realize you had something to do with that. You said something on the earth that helped them get back to where they came from. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. All right. Let me just try to go a little further here. I don't know if I'll be able to get all of this, but this word testify, also in the Greek lexicon, we can go back to the scriptures, just pull that up on the screen. This is what I'm just kind of focusing on. I'm actually going to hit a couple other scriptures. In the Greek lexicon, this word testify is maturomai. Maturomahi, something like that. Maturomahi. And what it means is take to record, to cite a witness, bring forward a witness, call to witness, to affirm, to declare solemnly, to protest. And, you know, so as I was just kind of thinking about this and just the Greek meaning of it, I also just kind of found a couple of scriptures that were related to this word testify. And Acts 20, verse 22 is one of the scriptures that we want to read. Acts 20 and verse 22. Praise the Lord. It says this. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul goes on to say, and now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record. And this is where this word testify is coming back in. It's used in this where Paul said, I testify in the Lord. It says, I'm taking you to record, all right? Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. I'm taking you to record this day. I'm testifying in your presence. I'm letting you know that I'm not guilty of anything. I have. Watch what he says. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. I like that. For I have not shun to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Man, I tell you the truth. Right now, I feel convicted. Because, you know, there's people that I come in contact with, and I ain't shared the entire counsel of God with them. I haven't shared it. There's people I've been friends with all my life, and I think there's times where I'm just kind of waiting, for an opportunity to see why I am the way I am. One of the things that's been just striking my mind lately, and maybe I pray that God will give me this open door to share it, but people grow up in church, and I'm just like everybody else, growing up in church, attending Sunday school, you know, doing all the things that everybody did in church. And, you know, even, you know, people might wonder, you have this opportunity to work at this big church, and all they wanted you to do is close your church and just be a part of them, be a pastor on their staff. You had this grand opportunity. Why did you turn that down? Why? And, I mean, I want the door to be open so I can really share why I turn things like that down, why I believe what I believe. And one of the things that's been striking me is like, you know what, I used to do this and I used to do that, but one day I came in contact with something. And I want to be able to share with people what I came in contact with. Right. I mean, there was a message that I heard. And when I heard this message, it revolutionized my thinking. Even when it comes to scriptures, I just see other things in the word of God. So, I mean, I mean, the scripture tell me to come out of her, my people. And I don't want to be caught in systems and things like that. I want to be free. Amen. Right. So I think there's there's people that we've come in contact with. And we ought to be praying, God, give us the open door so we can just share the whole counsel. We can share the whole counsel. Amen. It's one thing to share the counsel here with everybody that already believe the counsel. But it's a whole nother thing when we're doing it with people that don't know nothing about it. When Paul said, I shun not to declare the whole counsel of God, he wasn't just talking to people that already believe. He's talking to people that don't believe. But you know what? I'm letting you know anyway. I'm giving it all to you. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Amen. The job that God gave you is because somebody's there that needs the light that you got. Amen. Brother Marquise was just telling me recently he went to buy a car. And I thank the Lord for blessing him with a new vehicle. But while he was there at the car dealership, the person selling the car started telling him all these medical issues that they were dealing with. So Brother Marquise said, well, you know, we're not here for the car. We here for you. He said, let's pray for you. Let's pray for you here right now. Now, you know, when you're doing things like that, don't you think the car you're gonna get the car. And even if you didn't get the car, you'll leave there praising God anyway, because I know why I was here. I know what my assignment was. It might not have been for the car. I was here for this man. So let's pray for you now. I said, brother, that's it right there. That's what God looking for. Not just, you're going through. Well, let's get these papers signed. No, that's not that. You stop here. Stop. Listen. Listen, he might be telling everybody the same story, but you done said it to the wrong person. We're going to pray now. Amen. Bow your head. Glory to God. But here, you know, we need to be able to recognize things like that. Shun not to declare the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. I like to call it like this. We bump into people every day, and they need the hope that's lying in us. They need that hope. We can't be afraid to share. Here, it goes on. Amen. Co-workers, y'all be ready to share with your co-workers. I'm not saying go in there and be a weirdo. I'm not saying that. But people know something different about you. People can see that. They know something different about you. So, you know, when they you know, why are you always smiling? You want to know? I can tell you now. I can tell you that it's because the Lord has done something in my heart. I mean, I got problems just like everybody else, but I also got somebody to help me with my problems. I got hope. And with that hope, it gives me a peace. And I've seen him do it before. I know he'll do it again. This is just my confidence. And when I get, sometimes I get into a little something, I just start humming a little song. I just do things just to, and it gives me this atmosphere. And you might not see it, but it's a rock that follows me. Amen. But we can't be afraid to share. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Now this is reality. Paul is warning the church here. I'm sorry, I can't say that this. Yeah, yep. Paul is actually warning the church here. We have seen this. We've seen this. This spirit still lives today. Where I'm gonna tell you just like this. Watch out for parking lot preaching. Watch out for it. And what I mean by that. It's one thing that when we leave church and we stand outside and we fellowship around what was just preached. That's one thing. But if it's another sermon happening in the parking lot outside of what was preached here, That's what we mean. There's a spirit there. Watch out. Because what this person is doing is actually rising up to try to have people follow them. They're not interested, amen, in being a part of this group. They may pay tithes. They may pay offering. But their actions speak something totally different. Praise the Lord. These are real spirits. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Don't care who they take down. Don't care who they pull out. Don't care even what happened to them after they leave here. Got no church to take them to. Nothing. And if they end up in a situation where, oh, they just ain't fellowshipping there no more. Well, where they fellowshipping? They just at home. Well, for them, they like, praise God. But for a pastor, like, how did they end up like that? How did they end up like that? This is why we got to be careful about spirits like this. So careful. If you see a parking lot preacher and they trying to get you going, sometimes not even just the parking lot. Sometimes they come to your house. Amen. When you see things like that, you need to cut them conversations off. No, I don't want to talk like that. No. Or you take it right back. The pastor was preaching this on Sunday. The pastor was preaching. Always, and I'm going to tell you why you don't even, oh, Lord, help me, God, right here. Don't even just tell them the prophet said this, the prophet said that. Because they're going to do the same thing. But tell them the pastor said this. The pastor said that. They don't have a problem subjecting themselves to the prophet. But you want to find out if they have a problem subjecting themselves to a pastor. Test their spirit. Test their spirit by saying certain words. The pastor said this. The pastor, that's what you're doing is testing their spirit. Praise God. Amen. Oh, and you start, they start huffing and puffing on the pastor. You already identified it. You already identified what we got going on here. And you ain't got to say no more. Amen. Amen. It is the truth anyhow. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, brethren, I commend you to God into the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. This is just one of the when we look at the Greek lexicon, you know, and just one of the scriptures that goes along with what Paul was saying here. This I say and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. That scripture kind of goes along with it. I have another one, but I don't want to rush through that. I want to just kind of take our time. So what I'll do is I'll just pause there for tonight, and we will pick up this verse again, amen, on next week, and we'll try to bring out some more here. But I pray that the Spirit of the Lord just kind of helps us understand just where we are. First, from a natural perspective, be ready to share with people how your candle got lit. I mean, be ready to share that with people. Don't be ashamed of your testimony. Don't be ashamed of it. God gives you opportunities to share Christ. Amen. You want to do that. You want to do it with everything that you got. And again, it's not a thing where you're forcing on people, but look for opportunities, you know, and you can't never say that, well, I just never feel led. Maybe, really? You don't have no burden to try to share Christ with nobody? Something wrong with you. You know, you got to feel led. You got to at least pray about it in the morning. When you get, Lord, who do you want me to talk to today? One of the things I say in our morning prayer is like, Lord, let us be light in the midst of somebody's darkness. Let me be the city upon a hill that can't be hid. Let somebody see Christ in me and let me have that opportunity just to kind of say something. You don't know who need it. You just don't know who need it. But be mindful of that. Let's pray, church. Father, we are appreciative of the word tonight, the challenge that we receive in the word. Lord, Paul is saying he testified in the Lord. How the prophets say that? That's not just coming to church and receiving the word. That's not the main thing, but it's how, what we do with the word when we leave. We worship the Lord when we share with different people. God, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a friend. Father, we want to be mindful of opportunity. I'm even reminded of Brother Billy Paul being in the chair of the dentist. How the dentist just told him, say, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me?" He's like, "What? What is it? Why? What are you talking about? Like, why didn't you tell me?" He says, "If I had a daddy like yours, I'd tell everybody." Lord, he had never mentioned anything about his father's ministry to the dentist. He just felt convicted, and I thank Lord. All of us should feel that. I know I feel that same conviction, Lord. There's people, I mean, good friends of mine that I've been connected with for years, but Lord, haven't had a chance to share the whole counsel of God. Lord, forgive me. And I pray, Father, that you would help me, Lord, to be mindful of opportunities I have to express, Lord, to people what this message is all about. Why am I the way that I am? What you have done for me. I didn't do this to myself, but God, you reveal yourself to me. You open up my understanding. I'm one of them, Lord, who you've opened the eyes of their understanding to, who can see the revealed word for this hour. So Lord, help me, God, to be a better example, amen, before those that you've put in my path. Help us as a church, Lord, to be better examples to those that you've put in our sphere of influence. Lord, let us be mindful. God, that's our prayer. That's our desire. It's in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Take a look at the announcements here. We have Sunday morning prayer at 9 a.m., 9 to 10. And then our regular service will be at 10:30, amen, on this Sunday. We'll continue streaming through multiple ways. Twitter is one way you can find us, Facebook, SAT Tabernacle. And then our new website of john423.org, you can find the live stream there as well. Don't forget, the church picnic will be coming up at the end of this month. May 30th, and we'll get started at 11 a.m. And anybody, I know that we're going to have to start getting just what the menu is going to be and just what different ones we be bringing. Brothers, we usually try to get together and give money towards the meat, so we'll need to start doing that. We did invite Brother West Coast Church to be a part of our picnic this year, so they are invited. And we'll be looking forward to just having wonderful fellowship. So we'll try to get that out to everybody. But I think it might be about $25 a brother, something like that, to make sure that we have the meat taken care of. Also, we have the St. Augustine camp meeting that's coming up. Brother Keith Brown there in St. Augustine Victory Tabernacle. June 24th through 26th is when they'll be having a meeting. I know that Brother Andrew Glover will be ministering for a portion of services, and Brother Andrew and I, while we were in London together, he mentioned that he's coming down, so we're going to try to get him on a Friday night, either before Wednesday night, either before the camp meeting or after the camp meeting, but just keep that in mind, and like I said, let's do all we can just to try to support Brother Brown. Our giving is multiple ways. Those that are inside the sanctuary, we have the little box there if you want to give in the box. If you want to give through online method, we have three ways. We have PayPal. You use the option of give to a friend or family member, and the email address is giving at john423.org. If you want to use Zelle, When you're within the Zelle app, if you just put giving at john423.org, that will come to the church. And if you want to use Cash App, it's $SpiritandTruthT. That is another way of giving. Or if you want to mail an offering in, the Spirit and Truth Tabernacle P.O. Box 222-462 West Palm Beach, Florida 33422. So we just appreciate everyone and all their giving, continuing to keep the church moving in the right direction. And we continue to solicit your prayers. This school is not our permanent home. We are here passing through, just waiting for God to open up the next door. We felt him close the last door. We felt it was God that closed it. And, and I remember Fred Hammond making a statement that sometimes you have to worship God in the hallway. And he said the reason you're in the hallway is because you know one door closed, but the next door has not opened up yet. So you have to worship him in the hallway. And that's where we find ourselves in. But even in the midst of that, we worship God. Amen. Nothing to stop us from worshiping God. So just continue to keep us in prayer that God will just direct our next steps and that he will be the one to open the doors. I was just sharing with Brother Quentin earlier. God has to be the one to help us save money, which we have been able to do. We thank God for that. God has to be the one to provide the land. God got to be the one to, once you get in the building, help you with the upkeep of it. The whole process is all God. Amen. So we just trust him. We wait on him. We depend on him. And we'll just watch him manifest himself. Amen. We want to, I've got a couple prayer requests. I know that I was told that Brother Joseph is not feeling well, had a little stomach problem there, stomach ache. So we want to pray for him. Sister Michelle and Sister Therese are going to be traveling on tomorrow. I know Brother Troy, Sister Tanya, they're also traveling this weekend. I know that Brother Solomon and Sister Naomi won't be here this weekend as well. So let's just keep all of them in prayer and just trust that the Lord will just watch over all the saints. Amen. So let's, anybody got any prayer requests or praise report before we go tonight? Yes, yes. Okay. Yes, brother. Okay, Brother Quentin traveling. All right. Okay, so let's keep these requests. Let's take them before the throne of God. Father, we just come before your presence and just believe in, oh God, that you would just hear and answer every prayer that's presented. We have Lord Sister Virginia's grandson, God, who had a seizure. Lord, this enemy, and I just reminded how the prophet prayed for, well, actually gave instruction to the family for their brother that kept having seizures over and over. And Lord, he told the husband, says, when your brother has that seizure again, take his shirt off, throw it in the fire, and say, this I do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, when the brother come to the house, seemed like he just never had seizures. And then one day, husband's out hunting with Brother Branham, and it's just the wife there at the house with the kids and her brother-in-law. He has a seizure, massive seizure. Got her being a small woman, jumped on top of the man and ripped his shirt off and threw it in the fire and said, this I do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, and the man was healed. She believed, Lord, what the prophet had said. She didn't know she would be the one doing it, but she believed, and he was healed. So, God, we know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, Lord, you haven't given us instructions, but we know that when we come before you praying over situations like this, that you hear and you answer prayer. So we rebuke this enemy that's attacking her grandson. And, Lord, we believe in that you're going to bring healing to his body. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that God, you would drive this devil out that's attacking her grandson, even the COVID demon that has attacked him and the other family members. Lord, we pray that it would not have any other effects on them, that they would all be brought to complete health. Lord, we just pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we also just want to remember, amen, all the saints that are traveling. Lord, Brother Troy, Sister Tanya, Sister Michelle, Sister Charisse, Brother Quentin. I know Brother Solomon and Sister Naomi also, God. You know all about everybody's trips, and I just pray that you would go before the saints, give them traveling mercies. May they go to their destinations, Lord, and return home safely. Watch over them, protect them, keep them. Lord, is our prayer. And Lord, we just trust that you would just continue to get the glory and honor out of all that we do. Let us be mindful of opportunities again we'll have to share your love with others, Lord, as we leave this place. Don't let the word just stop here, but let it go home with us. And may you continue, Lord, to just deal with our hearts. We trust, God, that you bring us back at the appointed time on Sunday morning, that you would, Lord, not just open this door for us, but, God, we're looking for you to open other doors, that you would provide, amen, a place, a permanent place of worship, a school, Lord, that we would have our own school. We trust, Lord, that you would bless us with that, and we're just waiting for you, God, so help us to be, amen, patient. And help us, Lord, to keep walking by faith and not by sight. Ask that you would just keep us as we leave this place, but not your presence. It's in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. God richly bless you. To those that join us online, we say God bless you. And we'll certainly look forward to seeing you on Sunday.